Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart to Heart, an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Church. Our ministry website is www.newvisionforlife.com, where we align our heart with the heart of God. Please join our hosts, Apostle Etta Banks and Minister Tabika Garnes, as we get to the heart of the matter.
Good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning, beloved. This is Apostle Etta Banks, your host on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter, as well as being the pastor of New Vision for Life Church. It is such a pleasure to be with you on this day. And, of course, you know I have my awesome, magnificent, marvelous, wonderful, loving, and faithful co-host, Minister Tabika Garnes. Good morning, precious heart.
Good morning. I don't know what's going on with my voice at the moment, but good morning. How are you,
good
beloved?
Morning.
How are you today?
I am blessed and highly favored. Praise be unto God, I tell you.
Amen.
Excited as always. And thanking God for another day in which we can share together and another day, you know, on this side of heaven, another day. So I am just grateful.
Ma'am.
I'm grateful. Yes, ma'am.
Good,
yes,
good,
ma'am.
Good.
Praise God. Praise God. Let me say good morning to Lady Joyce. Praise be unto God. Good morning to you, precious. You and your wonderful husband, Lester. Good morning to Joyce in New York, Teresa in Pennsylvania, Prophetess Kim here in Maryland, Anita Nelson here in Maryland, praise God, Prophetess Dorn, to Deacon Banks, to Rob in PA, Isaiah in Chicago, Isaiah in New York, good morning to you all. I pray that God is continuously blessing you, and with each blessing that we do, I pray that you are being delivered, that you are being delivered and set free. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Amen. Beloved, would you like to shout out to anyone?
Yes. Good morning to each and every one of you all. I missed you all last week. Just know that I missed you all. And I'm just, again, glad to be alive. You know, so many things could have took us out overnight, but God was there to protect us. Our angels were there to watch over the room or wherever it was that we were. And I just want to give God praise because he is so faithful and consistent in everything that he does. And everything that he does for us, you know, watching over us, making sure that we're taken care of, making sure that we have what we need, even though we may think at times we don't have what we need. But again, if he takes care of the birds and the plants and everything else, why would he not take care of his people? So yes, to God be the glory for all that he is doing. And, just thanking God for each and every one of our listeners. Thank you for your faithfulness and your loyalty unto the show. As God chose Apostle Banks and I to be, you know, her to be the host and me to be the co-host, but he's trusting us to do his work, and this is his platform, and he will always get the glory from this platform. So to God be the glory.
Amen. Amen. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. And I want to give a special shout out to Prophetess Kim, who last week literally was a co-host, a guest last week. I tell you, you know, she jumped right in there with me in your absence and carried the show, bless her heart, you know, and that is because of her knowledge and the anointing on her life and her knowledge in dealing with deliverance. And, you know, she really poured out for us last week. And so, Prophetess Kim, I say thank you, Thank you. Thank you. What an awesome job. An awesome job. Amen. Well done. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Beloved, would you go ahead and open us up in prayer, please?
Yes, ma'am. Always. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 oh God. Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you. We thank you. Lord, there is none like you. We thank you for your peace. Your peace that surpasses all understanding, oh God. We thank you for your joy. We thank you for your patience, oh God. We thank you, Lord, that you are always an encourager. When we get down on ourselves and we feel weary and we feel like we don't want to continue, your love is always what keeps us going. And so, Father, I just thank you for your grace and your mercy over our lives. I thank you for how you're always showing us different things, Lord God, things when we don't even understand. You show us things that you want us to see in different ways, you know. And I just praise you, Lord, because you are. I'm so tongue tied this morning because of how great you are. Just your love and your joy and just everything about you, Father God. And we just praise your holy name, Father God, because there is none like you, Father. There is none like you in all the earth. And, Father God, we just thank you for how you're working in our lives and the lives of our family, Father, in the name of Jesus, God. And each and every person that's listening today and those that will go back and listen, Lord, I just pray a special blessing over them, Lord God, that you'll keep their minds, Lord God. You'll keep their hearts, Father God. You'll heal them when they need healing, oh God. And when deliverance needs to take place, Father God, that deliverance will take place in their lives, Lord. I thank you, Lord God, for the connection to the people that come and listen, Lord God. There is a special connection with each and every one of them, Lord God. And we just want to give you glory because you know what you're doing, God. Even when things don't look right, Lord God, or we're confused about certain things, and then when you reveal why, it's like we're like in awe of you, Father, because you the way you just connect things, the way that you you show us why this person is in our life or why this person can't be in our life or why, you know, the door was closed to a friendship, Lord God. And, Lord, I just give you praise, Father, in the name of Jesus, oh God. And, Lord, I just pray that you just help us, Lord God, that you would heal our hearts, God, that you would show us or give us a glimpse of where you want us to go, Lord God. Show us our place in the kingdom, Father, in the name of Jesus, oh God, for those that may be thinking or wondering why they're here or feeling like they're nobody or feeling like they don't have gifts or whatever it is that they're feeling, Lord God. God, I pray that you would give them a glimpse of how you see them and not how they see themselves, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, oh God. And Lord, we just thank you for being a God of love. We thank you for being a God of joy. We thank you for being a God of happiness. We thank you, Father God, that you protect us from the enemy, Father God, that you stand in between what the enemy has set up against us, oh God. And even when times where you've given him permission to do whatever, Lord God, you are still in control of what it is that he's trying to do. He cannot go above you or beyond you. He can't go around you. He has to go to you, Father. And even in that, we should have peace because we know that you are still in control, Father God. And Lord, so we just say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Father. Thank you for all that you have done for me and my family, for Apostle and her family, and for all of our heart-to-heart family. Lord God, thank you for what you're doing in their lives even now, Father God. Thank you for chains being broken, Lord God. Thank you for setting them free even now, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for shackles falling off in the name of Jesus, God. Thank you for where there was mind fog or clutter, Lord God, that you, Lord God, are erasing that now, oh God, so that they can think clearly again, Father, in the name of Jesus, oh God. So we bless you and we thank you and we give you all the praise, honor, and love in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. 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 Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Lord, I thank you so much. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your love, your deliverance, oh God, for your anointing, for your power, God. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Lord, have your way this hour, oh God. Have your way. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Thank you, beloved. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you. Thank
Amen.
You.
Amen.
Thank you. Yes, Jesus. Yes, oh God. So, beloved, to all of you that are here online today, we are continuing on, of course, with our series on deliverance. And you know, we may be doing this for a while because there is much to go over. And I praise God, you know, that as we're going over it, you know, people are recognizing, you know, things that they're dealing with and recognizing that it is a demonic spirit. And in fact, praise God, the topic that we're doing today, it's a demonic spirit. And this is part two, because we started that last week. And so it's a demonic spirit. There are so many times when they're dealing with people, even with our own selves, you know, there are things that are happening that we think it is the person themselves, where in all actuality, it is a demonic spirit. And demons influence our thoughts, our attitudes, and our behavior. They have the tendency to introduce ungodly mindsets by suggestion to a person. They suggest the attitude of offense and pride, being hurt, being jealous, being sad, being shamed, being mean, sassy, lying. You name a bunch of negative feelings. Have even a murderous attitude, envious, victim attitude. These attitudes, praise be unto God, and the thoughts are not the person's own. Rather, it is spirits that are manifesting, or spirits that are influencing this behavior. This is why a person can be one way one day, and the next day they're a completely different towards you. Look, I know that a person can be one way this minute and the next minute be completely different. And those are spirits that are influencing them. And the people yield to those spirits and they begin to act out what it is that the spirit is suggesting. And it is sad. It is so sad because people are fighting with each other against flesh and blood instead of dealing with the spirit that is influencing the behavior and influencing the attitude. Even with all of the stuff that's going on in society today, you know, the racism, the sickness and illnesses with this daggone COVID, with all kinds of things, financial situations, the stock market, this, that, and the other, all of these things, praise be unto God, we look for a natural means to solve these problems. We look for the natural means to solve the problems, and here it is that it's a spirit behind the thing that's causing the problem. And so we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but against, you know, the rulers of darkness and principalities and so forth. So demonic spirits is what it is that we're fighting against. And we have to deal with those spirits and their influence before we can deal with the person itself, themselves, I should say. And you have to stop long enough to discern. I do believe we shared a couple of weeks ago about you discerning the spirit. And too many times we are in the argument where relationships are torn down, broken up, and the whole nine yards, all because we were fighting against the person instead of going to God in prayer and dealing with the spirit of this thing, pleading the blood of Jesus over this thing, binding up those spirits that causes our husband and our children and our bosses and our co-workers and our pastors and laborers in the church and neighbors and so forth and so on. You know, instead of binding these spirits and rendering these spirits powerless, we're fighting the person, and that causes for such devastation in our lives. Beloved, what do you say, honey?
Yes, ma'am. People don't think that they can be influenced by demons, because I think people always look at, like, for a demon to actually sit in front of them and have that ugly look so they can automatically identify that it's a demon.
Right.
But, you know, and so people get stuck on, okay, well, you know, demons don't exist because I've never seen one before. But you probably haven't actually seen one, but you heard one speak before, and you may have never, you know, you may have never paid it any attention because it's coming from a person that you know, or you're in a market and you hear somebody talking, and you know you may be listening to their conversation, and you're not putting two and two together that that's a demon speaking, and not the actual person. When we see people out on the street and they're having conversations and we walk past and be like, oh, that person crazy, you know, we don't even give it any attention. That's the demons that have overtaken that person, and those are the demons manifesting and talking. And so, you know, you could be having a conversation with someone that you know, and, you know, because Apostle has shared this with me before, where you could be having a conversation with someone you know, and the person will say something, and you're like, what you say? And the person is like, huh, what you mean, what did I say? And you'll tell them what they said, and they're like, I didn't say that. And you know, you're like, yes, you did. Yes, you did say that. And you're like, No, I didn't. I don't. And the person adamantly does not remember saying whatever it was that caused a hurt or an offense to the other person. And so, you know, they can't even remember what it was that they said. And so sometimes, yes, you can be having conversations and the demon will speak and the other person on the receiving end hears it, but the person that's talking doesn't hear it and doesn't, you know what it is that you're talking about. So, yes, you know, demons will speak. Demons will influence your thoughts. Like, okay, let's just say that you – somebody cuts you off in traffic, and then when the person cuts you off in traffic, they keep slamming on their brakes, or they keep going, like trying to cause you to run into the back of them. And so you're driving, and by this time the steam is coming out of your head because you're really upset that, first of all, this person cut you off, so that means you almost hit them, and now that they're in front of you, they keep stopping on their brakes to cause you to run into the back of them. And so now you're sitting here and you're angry, and all these thoughts have entered your head about what you could do to get this person back. And if you're not careful, in that moment, your thoughts have been influenced by the demon, and now you've gotten out of your vehicle and you're banging on that person's window. And now a fight has taken place. Or now, you know, the person that cut you off has a gun. And now, you know, they shot you because they felt threatened because you walked up to their vehicle banging on their window. So, you know, that's one way that violence takes place, because the demon has influenced your thoughts. Your attitude, like Apostle said, one moment, you're joyful, you're happy, and you're laughing, and then in the next moment, you're not. And people around you are like, what is going on? Like, she was just laughing and having fun, now she's crying. Like, what's going on? And so, you know, yes, it happens. And also your behaviors. your behaviors. You could be acting out. You could be, you know, drinking a lot. You could be having sex with multiple people because, you know, you haven't dealt with that thing that has caused you to feel a certain way about yourself. And so you're acting out whatever it is that happened to you. I know that sometimes when people are molested or raped, that sexual sin takes over, mm-hmm. and then, you know, they start just having sex with just any and everybody because they were violated in that way. And everybody doesn't do that. Some do. Some do the opposite. They hate sex. When they get married, that the thoughts of what happened to them just keep playing in their head, and they can't have that romantic freedom or with their partner because they haven't been healed from that trauma that happened to them.
Mm-hmm. Amen, amen, amen. Mm-hmm. Understand, first of all, let me say this, beloved, to all of our callers, mm-hmm. Those of you that are online and those of you that have called into the station. Well, the ones that are online can't do this. But those of you that have called into the station, if you would like to contribute something to the conversation, please press 1 on your keypad. That will let us know that you desire to say something, speak, and we will open up the lines to you. Don't be ashamed, afraid, you know, to share any knowledge that you have. You may have questions. I can't promise you that we got the answers to all of your questions, but we will definitely do the very best that we can. So, again, this is Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. Praise be unto God. Also, now I want to touch on the fact that demons counterfeit the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and they do this especially with the revelatory gifts. Spirits of divination, astrology, talking to the dead, as well as familiar spirits that supposedly are dead people who are talking to a person, you know, who is supposed to be a channel. They try to counterfeit the revelatory gifts. And the revelatory gifts are gifts that reveal something supernaturally from God, So the familiar spirits are spirits that observe and are familiar with you, your family, your desires, your weaknesses, the behaviors of your family line, such as what weaknesses or sins your forefathers were susceptible to, et cetera. That is something, too, that is very, very important. Generational curses, the familiar spirit here. Let's say like three generations back, your great-great-grandfather was heavy into pornography. And so the lust demon was very prominent there. And then your great-grandfather, I said great-great, then your great-grandfather has the same issue. Then your grandfather has the same issue. Then your father has the same issue. And lo and behold, before you know it, you have the same issue. And this is a familiar spirit. See, that spirit knows the weakness in your family line, and it will attack the weakness in your line. I can't remember what it was that I used to say about me, but, you know, the spirit, let's say I can't think of one right now. I'm trying to think of something I wouldn't do. I can't think of it. You know, remember, let's just say murder. Let's say the spirit of murder is not something that I would naturally do, so the demons cannot tempt me with the spirit of murder or hatred. They can't tempt me with that. Yet, alcoholism and drugs, there was a weakness in the family with alcoholism and drugs. So that would be something that the spirit would be able to tempt me with. And I think the one I used to say all the time is stealing. A spirit of being a thief, you know, that's something I just wouldn't steal, and that would be that. But like I said, alcohol and drugs were heavy in my family, and that's what the spirit would tempt me, and that's a familiar spirit. The same goes, you know, with anything that's familiar to your bloodline, that's where the spirit will attach itself or try to tempt you in that area. They use this knowledge with the revelatory gifts. They use these knowledge to reveal to you something supernatural, and because the people who they are trying to deceive don't see spirits, they receive these counterfeit revelations. Now, that's talking about, you know, dealing with astrology and your horoscope and all of that stuff. You know, these are used to speak to you, to influence you, and you can't see the spirit. And you probably know the people that's giving you this information. You trust them in some way, shape, or form. So you receive the counterfeit revelation. You mm-hmm. take it as this is truth, and it's not. It is not truth. And so right now, I say to all of you that read your horoscope, deal with astrology, any of those things, go to soothsayers, have your cards read, have your palms read, dealt with levitation, any of those things, the Ouija board, any of those things, you need to renounce those things here and now. Renounce those things in the name of Jesus. Plead the blood of Jesus over them. In fact, Tabika, I don't know if you have with you this morning, if you have still your list of what, once you get deliverance, how to stay delivered. If you don't have it handy, okay. And that's something we should say every week, that we're dealing with deliverance, you know, because I believe that as we are speaking, people are getting delivered. So if you dealt with any of those things, thanks to God, you need to renounce it. You need to acknowledge it. You need to renounce that thing in the name of Jesus. You need to plead the blood of Jesus over your life. You need to ask God for the deliverance anointing to be upon you, so that any yokes that have you bound up, that those yokes can be destroyed, not just broken, but destroyed. They need to be destroyed. Amen. So be mindful of that, you know, as you're praying and as you're asking God to release you from these spirits, because you are meant to be set free in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved, it's on you now, darling.
Yes, ma'am. Just real quickly, I wanted to piggyback off of the counterfeit of the Holy Spirit. Also, sometimes, you know, sometimes I hear people say, like, I saw, or I talked to my grandmother, or I talked to my grandfather, and, you know, they came to my room, and they told me that they were okay, or they came and just minister to me, and now I feel better, that you'll hear people say. And what they don't realize is that it's the counterfeit spirit mimicking your dead loved one. And because the grief is so heavy in your heart, that's the way that spirit was able to come in and talk to you. And you know, what happens is your focus becomes on, your focus is now on talking to this dead loved one, and before you know it, you have begun a relationship with this spirit, You befriended it. You feel comfortable with it because you think that it's your dead loved one. And so now your focus is no longer on God. Your focus has dead loved ones. So whenever you hear someone say, and God is nudging me to talk to my family members about this as well, because I've heard them say it. God is nudging me to talk, to have conversation with them about this. So when you hear somebody say, depending on, you know, your relationship with the person or whatever, you have to, you know, politely tell them that it's not who you think it is. And you gotta ask Holy Spirit for discernment on when and how to say it. Because someone could be offended by it and cause the grief to heighten. And some people, you know, are just not going to believe that it's not their loved one. So we have to ask Holy Spirit for discernment to handle the conversation so that the people will receive it. And even if they don't receive it, don't take it as, don't feel a certain way about it. You've done your part. Now let Holy Spirit do the rest. Amen. I just felt like I needed to share that part.
Amen.
So sometimes, you know, there are prayers that we've been praying for a long time, and you may say, well, you know, Lord, what's delaying my answer to prayer? Like, I've been praying about this for the last 10 to 15 years, and, you know, I haven't gotten any answer yet. And so often when your prayer seems not to have gotten through or an answer has not come, it can be a demonic spirit that is trying to hinder it from getting through to you. And this was the case with the prophet Daniel in Daniel 10, verses 11 through 13. And it says, "And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then he said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 121 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia." So not only do demonic spirits try to hinder answers to prayers, but they also put yokes on people. That is to say, they attach people to something. That something can be attitudes, lack and insufficiency financially, sickness, et cetera. It requires the anointing to destroy the yoke. In this case, the deliverance anointing. And Isaiah 10 and 27, it says, "And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing." So in this hour in the church, we need a great deliverance anointing to destroy the yoke of the enemy that has put on the church as well as society as a whole. You know, again, we talked about demonic spirits speaking through people. You know, they hide behind people you love. They by speaking through them with the purpose of getting you to submit to what they say. And we look at Peter. The devil spoke through Peter with the purpose of discouraging Jesus in Mark 8:31-33. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he spake, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men." And so, again, you know, demons speak through people to discourage you, people close to you. The demon will speak through them to discourage you, to make you think twice about what God has said, you know, and you know that God has spoken to you and has said something, and you have taken it and you have run with it, and then somebody that's very close to you will say something, and you're like, and then you start second guessing and questioning, God, did you really say this? Did you really say that? So that even though it's a person that you're close to or a loved one, when God has given you something, he has spoken something to you, he has told you to do something, and no matter if it looks crazy to your loved ones, your friends, your coworkers, even people in the ministry that you know, when you know without a shadow of a doubt that God has told you to do something, has spoke something over your life, you follow Christ and not the people, because, again, things will be spoken to get you to change your mind so that you can be out of the will of God. Sometimes a spirit can be working against you through others, while at other times a spirit could be working through you, yet against you as well. You know, this happened with Judas. It was a case of a spirit, the devil working through him, yet against him, causing him to go to hell for the betrayal of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Apostle?
Amen, amen, amen. Before we go any further, you know, sometimes because we are familiar with terminology in our Christendom, in our Christian language, we are familiar with terminologies that we use, and there are times we use some words and people don't know what it means and so forth and so on. And so let me give the definition of renouncing, because I said you renounce these spirits. And so let's look at this. Renounce means to give up, to refuse, reassign, usually by formal declaration, to renounce one's error, to refuse to follow, obey, or recognize any further. Renunciation is the act of rejecting something, especially if it's something that the renunciant has previously enjoyed or endorsed. In religion, renunciation often indicates an abandonment of pursuit comforts in the interest of achieving spiritual enlightenment. So to renounce something here is to give up something, to refuse it, to reassign it. And and I had said, you know, that you renounce these spirits, these things that you were dealing with. Now, very quickly here, just let me also look up the word denounce. And let's see, MCE, because I always want us, you know, okay, what does denounce mean in the Bible? Okay, denounce is to pronounce, especially publicly, to be blameworthy or evil. They denounced him as a bigot. Others might cry or get bent out of shape when their personal tastes are denounced and ridiculed. What does it mean to denounce sin? Denouncing is to make known a solemn or official manner, to declare something, to proclaim it, especially an evil. So just wanted to give you some definitions of some words you've heard us use, you know, to help you to understand more about what it is that we are talking about. Okay, so now the next thing here is the fact that demonic spirits must have a door open to have access to you. They don't just force you to be broken, sick, or any of the negative things that come against you that they're responsible for. Rather, they need for you to open a door for them to come in through an act of sin. Whew. You hear me now. Through an act of sin, this gives the demonic spirit the right then to enter in into you and to influence you in the manner in which it does. Sometimes the things that we do or the things that we watch on TV and movies that entertain us with sin, the music that we listen to, ungodly music, vulgar, unclean words in it, being willing to give the demonic spirit access to it. This is why a lot of people, including us Christians, are having problems because of the access that they give the enemy to them through avenues of entertainment and through the avenues of entertainment. And let me tell you, saints of God, you know, a lot of times as Christians, we become desensitized. And the things that are said and things that are done, you know, that we just like, you know, hey, that's the way of the world. And we accept the stuff. We just accept it. And I remember I had a season where I was watching movies, and the movies had to have been at least PG-17, some of them may have been R-rated, and not X-rated, y'all, come back, R-rated, so dealing with violence, drugs, language, you know, so it may have been something like that. I may have been looking at a documentaries, I have trouble saying that word, but documentaries of somebody's life, and the movie was made of their life, and I wanted to know their history, their story, but there were some vulgar words that were used in the movie. And I found during that season when I was looking and watching movies that had words in it that should not have entered into my spirit, that I found myself when I was thinking, thank God this stuff didn't come out of my mouth when I was talking, but when I'm thinking a thought, a vulgar word would be in my thought, and I'm like, wow, where did that come from? You know, like, what in the world? Because that's not my normal language. But yet, when I would have a thought, when I'm thinking how to do something, whatever the case may be, vulgarity would come to mind, and I had to remove that stuff. I had to remove it. You know, I opened the door for the enemy to, you know, to implant things in me by watching that stuff. That was an open door to sin. That was an open door, and the enemy had a field day. The devil's entertainment is with the purpose of entrapping you and putting you into bondage. And that television show that had the interesting plot that all of a sudden had sexual acts in it is meant to open a door in you by getting you intrigued in the plot and then throwing sin, fornication, or adultery in the mix. And if you watch and are entertained by sin, instead of turning it off or turning the channel, then you open a door to the spirit of lust, fornication, and or adultery. And the ungodly, unclean music, television shows that most people watch, including Christians, are a demonic highway that the enemy uses to gain access to a person by getting them to receive the entertainment, thus opening a door so that they can legally come in. When you entertain these things in your mind, they have a right to come in with those things. And saints, I'm telling you, you know, even conversation that you may be having with somebody, and if they use vulgarity, you got to tell them, no, not here. You can't talk that stuff to me like that. I cannot receive that in my spirit. I cannot, will not receive that. So, And people will get mad at you, like, well, who do you think you are? You holy roly and this, that, and the other. Call me what you want, but no, you're not going to use that language when you're talking to me. Most addictions are rooted in demonic spirits that use the craving of the body to enslave people. And I know this for a fact. I mean, I know this for a fact. I know the things that I've dealt with, things that troubled me, praise be unto God, and knowing that, you know, I had to recognize this stuff as a spirit, discern that, cut that thing off, cut it loose, so that I could be set free. And the same goes with you. Don't let anything or anybody keep you from walking in what Christ went to the cross for, and that was for us to be set free. He came to set the captives free. Go ahead, mm-hmm. beloved.
Yes, yes, yes. He came mm-hmm. to set the captives free, which is you and I. Yes, you and I. We benefit from that. And it is the Christian's responsibility to liberate those who are being imprisoned and influenced by these demonic spirits. Yet it is in spiritual maturity or walking in the spirit that we can effectively deal with these entities. Because remember, it's not us that's actually doing the work. Holy Spirit is working through us, you know, so that giving us what we need, the Christian giving us what we need to help. You may encounter times when you meet people and you've been helping people for so long, and you begin, you know, to cry out to God like, Lord, why aren't they getting it? Like, you've given me the tools, I've given it to the person, they're just not getting it. And sometimes I'm gonna be transparent. Sometimes it can become frustrating. Sometimes you can get frustrated with the person because it's like, look, you know, I've given you the tools. We talked about certain things, and you're not listening. You keep going back to the same thing. And sometimes when this happens, you know, God will tell you, you know, you need to step back. You need to step back because it's like now. You're pouring so much into a person that, you know, you're becoming burnt out and overwhelmed, and you're going through situations because you have poured so much out into this person, and basically the person is not really doing anything that you've given them to do. And so, you know, God, the Lord will tell you, listen, that's enough, or let me handle everything. And you have to be obedient to that, because you don't want a person to drain the life out of you when you're trying to help them. Luke 4:18-19 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." So whether you are a captive or you know someone else who is a captive, freedom must be your objective. You must proclaim or declare that Jesus can set them free. Then when two kingdoms clash, one must be victorious. The greater kingdom destroys the strength of and takes the territory and spoils of the lesser kingdom. This is the case when the Christian comes into contact with devils. God's kingdom, in which the Christian is part of and represents, and the things therein causes Satan's kingdom to be subjected to it. In Matthew 10:7-8, it tells us to declare the kingdom. As ye go, preach, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. So please take this very seriously. You have no power against these demonic spirits in sin. It is their desire to get you to fall into sin or stay in sin in order for them to keep their place in your life or the lives of others, giving them the right to cause sickness, poverty, brokenness. And so Ephesians 4:27 tells us neither give place to the devil. And so they cannot, the demonic spirits cannot operate unless they have a place. And that place that they get in is you. And it is called sin. And so there is an area of sin, then they do not have a right to stay and cause you problems. You, on the other hand, have a right and the authority through Jesus Christ to put them out. You must make it your business to set yourself as well as others free. So it's your business to put these demonic spirits out. They have no place, no reign in your life unless you give them an open door, unless you invite them in, unless, you know, you're intentionally doing, you know, participating in sin, and you're loving it, you're liking it, and you don't see anything wrong with it, then, yeah, they will have reign over your life. They will control you. They will tell you what to do. They basically take over your life. And the only way to close the door is to stop the sin. And you may be like, well, it, you know, some people may be like, oh, well, it's impossible not to sin. And, you know, yes, we're humans. We say things. But when you're, for instance, you know that sex is a sin. Sex before marriage is a sin. You can easily close the door to that by how? Stop having sex until you get married. And, you know, for some people, they'll say, y'all, that's easier said than done because once you start having sex, it's kind of hard to stop. And the reason why it's hard to stop is because you open the door to the spirit of lust, and so it keeps pushing you and pushing you and pushing you to keep doing it. But you have the power to close the door to that. You have the power to be set free from a sexual spirit. And once you're set free, you're set free. And then when you get married, then you can have your fun. And guess what? You can have all the sex that you want to after you're married, and you can enjoy it this time. Because why? Because you're doing it, you did it the right way. So there's no sin that will come into that because you did it the right way. Now, once you get married, now you have to make sure that you are, your marriage is pleasing unto the Lord. And when I say that means don't invite other people into your bed chambers, because what happens now? You reopen the door to sexual spirits. You reopen the door to demonic spirits, and now they return and they will create immeasurable havoc on your marriage. So, that again, it's up to you to make the choice. It's up to you to say, you know what, you have no place here. Get out, and you close the door to that sin. And the way to keep them out is just don't open the door back up to them. Let them stay on the other side of the door, you know. And it's not until they're going to knock out on that door, trying to get back in. And the only way that they can get back in is if you open the door. If you don't know who's knocking at the door, look out the window to see who's knocking on your door. But just stay free. Once you receive your deliverance, you can stay free. It is possible. And I'm gonna share this really quick on how to stay free. First of all, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8. I'm gonna give you the scriptures that go with that. And I'm sorry if I'm saying it really fast, but I'm trying to get it in here before the recording stops. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8, Acts 2:4, Ephesians 5:18, be a doer of the word, James 1:19-25, Romans 12:1-2, pray in the Jude 1:20, Acts 2:4, 1 Corinthians 14:2, daily crucify the flesh and submit to God, James 4:7, Romans 6:6-11.
avoid wrong companions that would be a bad influence on your life. 1 Corinthians 15:33, 2 Corinthians 6:14-15, keep a humble spirit. James 4:6, repent when you miss it. 1 John 1:9, walk in and use your authority in Christ. Matthew 16:19, Luke 10:19, and be thankful and rejoice. Philippians 4:6 and Philippians 4:4. So, excuse me, these scriptures will help you keep your freedom, to help you stay free, because, again, the enemy is going to try to come back and tempt you, come back and try to tell you, you know, don't you miss such and such. Don't you miss hanging out with such and such. Don't you miss that movie was your favorite movie. You should watch it again. But it was full of sex and vulgar language and everything else. So yes, just be mindful that when God has set you free, you can stay free. It's your choice to stay free. Amen, Apostle. Apostle, are you there?
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, beloved. I'm here. I'm so sorry. I am here. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. I'm telling you, I thank God. I thank God, you know, for the opportunity to share this information to you. With you. Hold on for one moment. Okay, all righty. Okay, very good. I'm sorry. I had some communication come through about what we're talking about, so listen, any of you that have some questions that you would like for us to answer, but you don't want to ask them publicly. You can do so via email. The email, heart to heart at newvisionforlife.com. You can send us your questions there. Praise be unto God. And I thank you, woman of God, for the suggestion. I thank you. You know, there are things, because I have been receiving calls. Those of you that know my number, you know, I have been receiving calls on dealing with some demonic issues and deliverance concerns. You can also, like I said, send it to that email. If it rejects, because I haven't used that email for a while, if it rejects, please send it to Tabika@newvisionforlife.com. Tabika, and that is spelled T-A-I-B-I-K-A. Tabika, newvisionforlife.com. Well, my loves, that's all we have the time for today. We thank you. We love you. We appreciate you listening. Please go and pray. Go before God for whatever it is you need. And again, you can contact us if need be. We love you. We pray for you. And by all means, you know where we'll be next Saturday morning, right back here at 9 o'clock. Take care and Amen. Be blessed. Have an awesome weekend. See you later, baby.
Thank you for listening to Heart with Bishop Etta Banks. Heart to Heart is an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders. Please visit our ministry website at www.newvisionforlife.com. As always, beloved, I pray that God will bless you and bless you mightily. And as he does, you will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around and bless someone. Then that person will turn around and bless God Almighty for the blessings that he bestowed upon them. them. And then God, in his awesome and infinite wisdom, will turn around and bless you one more time because you knew what to do with the blessings he bestowed upon you. I thank God for the completion of the circle of blessings. I beseech you, therefore, in the name of Jesus, that you go forth today and be a blessing to someone. And when you do, do so on purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.